Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll be joined by Andrew Marchand from The Athletic a little bit later this hour at 8:30. We'll get into the Four Nations TV ratings with him, what the future could look like with Tom Brady on television, and a whole lot more. Take your thoughts in the meantime. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, as we had Paul Kuharsky on the program yesterday, you brought up several times the Athletic NFL beat writer mock draft that you were participating in. The results were not out yesterday, so unable to discuss much in detail. Let's just start with this as we get into the beat writer mock draft of 2025. What did you learn most about the position the Titans are in, the interest level around the league, and the quarterbacks at the top of this draft, and how that could affect the Titans and the number one overall pick?
Well, of course, you have to – the big grain of salt with any of these things, writers don't have the same job security concerns that the actual general managers do, and – they don't have the same amount of information, all that stuff. I must say, I made it very clear when we started this, which, you know, was a couple days ago. You know, it's like on Slack. I made it very clear. Titans, open for business at number one, folks. Open for business. And I can report to you that at least on the writer front, boy, was there very little interest in moving up to one. Now, the headline of this is NFL beater mock draft 2025, Giants, Raiders secure their futures at quarterback. So that tells you a little something. But let me just tell you, I got one team that expressed interest in the pick. It was the Raiders. The Raiders have had the sixth pick in this draft. And you and I talked about the back and forth, like, the, you know, what would you ask for, right?
Yeah.
Is it Pro Football Reference? You know, like a, you know, the trade calculator where you look at the value of everything. And I gave an offer that like was well short of what you said the Titans should ask for. And if I can remember it correctly, and it still was like the value according to the thing was like in my favor, but it was obviously you're swapping picks. You're moving from one to six. And then you are, you're moving from one to six. You're getting there. What did I have? I think I had second, third.
Yeah.
And then second next year.
Next year.
That's right. So I didn't even have another first involved to move down five spots. I wanted to get in the third. You know, that's adding. I mean, that is increasing my number of top 100 picks by three by doing it. So you're getting a lot more swings. You aren't getting that first next year. And I thought that would be – because, again, the market was soft. There wasn't anybody that wanted to move up into one. No one else contacted me. And they declined. And I'm like, geez, man. And of course, I made a joke like, you know, tell Tom Brady that he needs to get up here and get Shedeur Sanders. What's wrong with that guy? But so it didn't happen. Now, it's interesting because as it turns out in this draft, again, the headline is, you know, those teams got their QBs. As it turns out in this draft, the way it went is no QB went one or two, and so the Giants were able to just stay at three and get Cam Ward. And then that's where the Raiders were smart in this exercise, because what they did was they bumped up to four with the Pats, and they took that spot. So they had to – all they had to trade was 68 to go with with the pick swap. So they only had to trade one pick to end up getting who I presume was their guy, which is – so Brady ends up getting Shadur anyway. So, again, does this mean that, that the Titans are screwed? Now, of course it doesn't mean that, but at least the perception in the media circles right now is like the desperation to get to the very top seems kind of low.
And that's why, what we talked about yesterday with Kuharski is so interesting. Like, I think Titans fans are assuming that they're going to be able to trade down, pick up more picks, and still walk out of there with an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter. And I think that would be the ideal scenario. Like, if you told me I could sign up for that right now, I would absolutely do it if I was the Titans. But what if you can't? Like, what if you can't trade down? What are you prepared to do with your number one overall pick? Like, there are some that would say, Joe, if you're picking number one, you better take a quarterback and just take a chance on a quarterback being great. I don't really operate that way. I understand that thought process. But if the quarterbacks in your estimation aren't worthy of being picked number one, then don't pick them at number one and walk out of there with either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. I if I'm the Titans and I was Mike Borgonzi in charge here, I would be asking for a lot if it required me to move down past four. I understand the importance of picking up as many picks as you can, and they've talked about wanting to do that. And I understand that this roster's got a lot of holes. What the roster needs more than anything, more than the amount of players, they need elite players. You need elite players on this roster. And I'd have a tough time if it was me trading down past four, to the point where if somebody's wanting to move up, if it's the Raiders, if it's the Jets, whoever, I'd be asking for a whole lot in order for them to do it at that point. So I'm really interested to see, like, if there's not as much interest in moving up to number one as maybe some people think there's going to be, what are the Titans prepared to do at that point if they have to stick and pick?
Yeah. No, I obviously I'm fascinated by what happens for the Titans if they do stick and pick. So to your point of, to the point of, having to move down, so – Patriots have to move down. They go down from four to six, and Vrabes ends up with Will Campbell, who he seems to be the consensus, number one offensive lineman. Yeah. Is Will Campbell a good enough player to end up with? Now, if the Titans were in that spot again, the way this turned out, but I mean, the way this turns out, I think, what I don't know is, will both quarterbacks actually go that high? I don't know. I think Cam Ward will. I don't know that Shadur will, but in this exercise he did. So then you take out the two quarterbacks, you take out Hunter and Carter. And it feels like, Hunter and Carter, almost you could consider them on their own tier, right, of players. Some people would just tier it like who were the first round picks, but I think they would be on their tier, top tier of players. And I think you could make that its own tier. Then you have the quarterbacks. Okay. So then in this exercise, Mason Graham, Michigan, who seems to be a very popular, like, interior defensive lineman to go very high on this draft, then Will Campbell. Now, you could, if you were in that exact same situation and you had made the trade with the Raiders, Will Campbell, there's Tet McMillan, yep, at receiver, so you could address receiver. There's Jalen Walker at Georgia, the edge. You can address edge. Are you addressing them well enough there? Those are three positions of desperate need. Do any of those three players address those three desperate needs to the extent of where you're picking at number six in the draft? I mean, again, I think some people would say Will Campbell is the top offensive lineman, but he doesn't compare to the top of last year's offensive tackle class. Tet McMillan, I've heard really interesting. I think he's really good. He's 6'5". it's just, you know, is he that level of guy, like a top, well into the top 10 kind of guy? And, you know, I guess for me, you know, with Walker in Georgia, like I, at this point, it's hard for me to like, it's hard for me to discount any Georgia defensive players, right? Like, I feel like so many of them, but they don't all work out great, but like so many of them do. But he is a, I mean, he's, he doesn't have the same level of production as some of those guys coming up too. So it's like, it to me, it gets dicey as soon as you get just a few picks down.
If I'm drafting Tet McMillan, where it looks like he's going to go, I need him to be an elite receiver in the league. Doesn't have to be immediately right. An elite receiver in the league, but I need him. When you start listing off the top wide receivers in football, by the time his career, he gets to his maximum, you don't need to go too far down the list before he's mentioned. Is he that? I don't know. Like, I think he's got a chance to be pretty good. Is he an elite of the elite wide receiver prospect? I have my doubts about that.
I do too. Like, I think he's going to be good, really good. I think he's going to be a real good player in this league. I think he can be someone's number one receiver. But, right, when you're going there, whew, you've got to be like a massive difference maker in this league. And that's where, I think it gets really questionable to move down. Like, it's almost to the point where I would prefer, like, I totally agree with you on don't move down past four. If you're going to, I'd almost prefer to move down to 20 and get a bunch of picks and get a lot of the same kind of level of player. You know, that's where, you know, just to have more swings at it and just more really good players. But I think that, like, 6 to 12 range is, like, it just seems like there's a pretty big drop-off.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on Rex Rhodes' mock draft exercise coming up next, what he learned in that process, how it could affect the Titans moving forward. This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, The Game. Got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to the Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con at Nashville Fairgrounds coming up March 1st and March the 2nd. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con at Nashville Fairgrounds coming up March 1st and March 2nd. Take your thoughts on the mock draft exercise that Rex Rhodes has participated in. Brett and Franklin on the text line says, if they don't like the QBs at 1, just take the guy you like the best. What if they trade down and that team takes Abdul Carter? You're probably stuck with a QB you didn't particularly like anyway at that point. What do you make of that thought from Brett and Franklin?
Well, I mean, if you're not gonna take the QB at 1, you move down, they don't take the QB, you don't have to take the QB wherever you are.
It's true.
Right? You do not have to take a QB. But I mean, I suppose it's possible someone could just love Abdul Carter so much that they just say, I got to get to 1 to get him. I'd be surprised by that. You know, but look, man, I don't know. With these QBs, maybe it is beyond even the Titans sticking and picking. I mean, I think that's the most likely scenario for a non-QB to go number 1. But it's possible that somebody out there could be like, yeah, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, that's a franchise-changing prospect. We're going to get him. But, you know, wherever you land, if you're the Titans, you don't have to take the QB. Obviously, you know, we do these mock drafts here in February, and we do these before the actual GMs have done free agency. And,
right.
And of course, there will be more to come. We'll do another one after that. And then you got a lot more clarity, and you have a lot more chance of being closer to accurate with what actually happens. And of course, we're going to have a much better idea of how the Titans are thinking based on how they proceed during free agency. But it does feel, Robbie, to me, like at this point, the Titans taking one of these quarterbacks would be a surprise. And I don't know that I think that's almost just like our own speculation. Yeah, some commentary publicly about that, but I don't, it's not like the Titans are like showing their cards, unless you really think that a guy saying, you know, the obvious thing, like we want a generational player, is actually right. telling people what he's going to do.
They could very well get up, walk up to the podium when the draft starts and say, you know, with the first pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Titans select Cam Ward. Like, I would not be stunned by that. Again, I think we're going to find out a little bit more what that looks like when free agency rolls around. But that goes back to a question I asked earlier this week. Like, who's the free agent quarterback that they could go sign that you think would just automatically eliminate a quarterback from being selected at number one overall? Like, I guess Darnold, because Darnold would be more of a longer-term solution. But, like, even, like, some people have thrown out Rodgers. Like, they could sign Aaron Rodgers. He's 41 years old. It's a one-year thing. Like, I don't think that automatically eliminates them from taking a quarterback number one overall, even if it's Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree. I think only the a significant investment in someone that you know is going to be a multi-year QB would completely eliminate the possibility. So, like, yeah, Darnold is the obvious example there. Like, I think if you do that, then it would shock me, because he's gonna get paid.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly how much, but he's gonna get paid. It would shock me if the Titans somehow found a way to get Darnold and then they did that. But very few other QB choices would make it shocking. Ben says, if the Titans don't just absolutely love anybody at number one and nobody wants to trade up for a haul, then just trade back without asking too much. Right, but Ben, you still, like, you can't force people to trade with you, you know? Like, you, hey, you at number eight, you're trading with me. I'm not giving you, you don't have to give me too much, but you're trading with me. Like, you like, again, we're open for business. I got one call, and I think I gave a fair offer, and they're like, yeah, we're good. So, like, you can't just trade back. Someone still has to want to give you something. I mean, unless you want to just be like, hey, would anybody just like this pick? Here, this is a savings similar to Treylon Burks' cap savings. Would you like that? You can just have the number one pick. Let's just trade the picks. Why not? Whatever. We like you a lot. Here, we'll take seven. You take one. No questions asked. I mean, someone still has to be motivated to get up there and give you a call and trade for the pick.
Well, I'm also not selling way too low on the number one overall pick. Like, just even if I'm right. If I'm not in love with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, like, I'll still take one of them. I'll still take, you know, one that you like the best, rather than just like selling yourself so wildly short on the return back for the number one overall pick.
Yes, I guess it's like, yeah, you come through all this and you're way different than everybody else and you just think both of them are busts, you know? Okay, well, then I guess you're going to take a reach at that pick. A conventional wisdom reach. But right. there's got to be someone you love in the draft, right? If not, my goodness, you're screwed.
We're just going to forego our picks this year. We don't like anybody in the draft. And we're not taking anybody. Like, you know, look, I think we could agree – of the years for the Titans to have the number one overall pick, this is not a great one. Like, it's not a great year to have the number one overall pick. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't find a franchise-changing player here. It's just not as clear-cut as it is some years.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's too bad to have the number one pick and also be quarterback needy and a lot of questions. But maybe it isn't too bad.
Yeah, like, it'd be great if Joe Burrow was coming out this year.
Right.
You'd know.
But, again, maybe the Titans get through this whole process and they're like, oh, yeah, no, we got our QB. We're taking him at one. And, world, get ready for Tyler Shug from Louisville. It's shocked the world. Here he comes. But, seriously, I mean, you know, they may end up loving one of these quarterbacks. And then, to them, it's not a bad year. And 5 years from now, we could laugh at all this commentary about how it's a bad year because Cam Ward is a perennial All-Pro. Who knows?
Which, by the way, he could be. Like, I'm not – we've talked about him a lot. There are parts about his game that I'm concerned with. There are also parts about his game that I really like. Like, Shedeur Sanders, I don't know that I see him being an elite quarterback. But, like, if you told me he was immediately ready to play and could have a good year next year – I'd say, okay, yeah, I could see that. Like, he's really accurate with the ball. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he knows what to do when he's out there. He's played a lot of football. Like, there's still, even though it's not a quote-unquote great quarterback class, and nobody – you'll be hard-pressed to find people that are just in love with Cam Ward or in love with Shedeur Sanders. they do have qualities that could translate into being a good NFL quarterbacks.
No question. Again, I would like to see, Shadur is, if I'm picking one of them, I'm picking Shadur. That's me. And I would like to see like the alternative reality of Shadur Simpson, and his, no one knows who his dad is, and it's the same exact player. Like how much, because there's so much of the Dion attachment that some people think is like a big problem or a big deterrent. I still don't think he'd be he still wouldn't be, to me, viewed in the same way of like Caleb Williams and Drake May were last year. Yep. Or some of the other big names. But I do wonder if he'd be more of the clear number one guy. In my mind, he is. But I do also understand the Cam Ward fascination.
I will say, on my TikTok feed, I've come across like clips of Ward and Sanders working out together.
Yeah.
And they just like basically insult each other the whole time. It's pretty funny.
It is pretty good.
It's like, wow, all you did was throw checkdowns at Colorado. No wonder your completion percentage was that high. It's pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of good bubble screens there. Great. Good for you.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Andrew Marchand from The Athletic will join us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Andrew Marchand, who covers sports media for The Athletic. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. Thanks for taking time to be with us. So, Andrew, I want to start with the Four Nations tournament in the NHL. We saw USA and Canada on Saturday night. The ratings were very good for them. Interested to see what they look like tonight in the final between US and Canada. But what have you made of the Four Nations tournament, USA and Canada specifically, and what this ratings news means for the NHL as they continue to try to grow their game?
Yeah, it's undoubtedly a success. I mean, it's a great idea. And the biggest thing, you have to credit the players and the coaches, because it's the buy-in that makes it, the magic happen, and why I'm going to be tuned in, you're going to be tuned in tonight, because they care. I mean, they're not really playing for anything. There's no trophy. There's no history with this. But the players care about which country is considered the best after this tournament. And you have to give them a lot of credit. So, what it means for the NHL, it's another event that really will resonate on the calendar. Does it help, regular season games? Sometimes these things, kind of like the in-season tournament with the NBA, it's like that. I thought that was a good idea, and I still think it is. But the only thing it does, it does kind of highlight that, well, you're making these games more important. What does that mean for your regular season, your normal regular season games? I don't know overall. I would say this. I do think because of the numbers, anytime the numbers jump like they did, they had 4.4 million people watching USA versus Canada the other day. You get more people watching. So that can't, then you might say, all right, let me watch the Rangers. Let me watch the Predators. And when you wouldn't normally watch. And it's a good sport. It's helpful for sure. But I think the players and coaches really deserve credit because they buy it.
So, Andrew, I know you've been writing and talking a lot about NFL and different, television iterations possibly to come. But I want to get right to my biggest annoyance in the world, which is Tom Brady broadcasting games. Now, as you wrote, he got better this year. I think he's tolerable. I think he'd be fine as the fourth crew of a team. But can you just give me any hope at all that this is going to end? And honestly, my biggest issue, two things, the Raiders thing just really bothers me, but also my biggest issue is that we were robbed of Greg Olson, who I think is the best analyst out there. Like if Brady replaced Collinsworth or Aikman, it would be worse, but I wouldn't be infuriated. I'm infuriated because Greg Olson, to me, is bar none the best analyst out there. Is there any hope that this can end?
I think there is hope. Don't lose hope. There's hope it can end. I don't want to take away your hope. But I do think, I reported a couple of years ago his salary is $37.5 million and you add stocks, it may be higher. and I know there's a lot of speculation that maybe he'll be one and done with the Raiders. I don't know many people who walk away from jobs that, even if you're Tom Brady, that pay you nearly $40 million to work half the year, and it's one day a week. Now there's a lot of prep you have to do, so it's not just a one day a week job. So the idea that he's walking away, I don't see. The Raider thing, I think it's very manageable. I think, you know, a lot of times in the world we live in, you know, understanding the actual facts of things get lost. Obviously, let me just say at the start, it's not how you'd want. If you were drawing it up, you wouldn't have a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders be the number one analyst for Fox. That's not how you draw it up. But we don't live in that type of world. This has happened before. I'm not saying it's okay. It's just the world we live in. That said, he's not allowed to be a team president. Only family members of ownership are allowed to be team presidents or that type of executive. So how involved he is, you know, some people, our colleague at the Athletic, Diana Rossini, said he's involved in everything. And I'm sure he has a say. And if you look at their decisions, it seemed like with the GM, who he had a past relationship, and then Pete Carroll, who he seemed to like, you know, he had some influence. But is he there every day? I don't think so. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he liked it. People liked working with him. I think the bigger question in terms of on the air is, you know, can he be relatable? And I think, you know, Greg Olsen's very relatable, and Greg Olsen studied it. Even as a player, he started calling games. He wanted to do this. Tom Brady had no interest in doing this before they offered him so much money. Now, Fox didn't feel comfortable, and there was that factor. But the bottom line is he did it because it was such an incredible contract.
So, Andrew, we've seen, whether it's Prime and Amazon or Netflix, try to get involved with the NFL broadcast, and they're going to continue to push that as they move forward here. What do you make of where that's going in terms of the non-traditional broadcast of NFL games versus the traditional television broadcast that we're all used to?
So I think it's very important for fans and viewers to understand, like, the time frame. So the NFL deals are only in their second year. They just concluded their second year. They're 11-year contracts. They have opt-outs at the end of the decade. So 29 and 30, most of them are after the 29 season. ESPN's after the 30 season. So nothing's changing in the next 5 years. Now, there's one caveat to that that I'll get into in a second. So, yes, streaming is coming, but the way you watch games is not changing for a few years. Now, I'll add this caveat. This is getting really into the weeds. CBS is going through an ownership change. There is a clause in the NFL deals that if a network has an ownership change, they have the right, the NFL does, to reopen the deals. So that does kind of create perhaps an opportunity. You know, Netflix's head of content the other day said that she would be interested in afternoon games, which was a little bit of a shocker because most people think of them, you know, going to be on these one-off with the Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football. That's where Netflix and Amazon are kind of expected to live in the NFL world. But she said Sunday afternoons. So that's where the timeline, again, we're a long way from there, could move up. But for fans watching, to the next 5 years, you're going to be fine in terms of how you watch. It's going to be the same for the next 5 years unless the CBS thing happens. So, yes, it's going to happen. When we get into the next decade, you know, streaming is going to become even stronger. So to answer your question, yes, that's the future, but the future isn't changing next year or the year after unless the CBS thing becomes serious.
Well, and you pointed out, like this is like they need to tread lightly here, right? I mean, is there a concern here that at some point you've gone too far with this stuff?
Yeah, well, I think if I'm the NFL, the real concern I would say is that streaming hasn't really necessarily worked fully. Now, the Amazon ratings are good. Peacock with NBC had pretty good ratings. The Netflix games on Christmas, if those games were on Fox or CBS or ABC or NBC, they would have done about 8 million more people. And I do think that this is a business part of it, is that if you're the NFL and you go all in on streaming, and of course all these places, Amazon, Netflix, Google, YouTube, to get involved, they have endless money. but they don't necessarily just spend endless money. And the other part of it long term is if Netflix gets the NFL and let's say they do a 10-year deal, when you get into the 2040s, they might not need the NFL as much, or there might not be a stalking horse to make them pay as much as they have because there just might not be other places. And I think when you look at the broadcast networks, you look at ESPN, they need the NFL. That's their business. That's you don't really have those networks, and they don't really survive very well. I mean, they survive, but they're not what they are without the NFL. And I think that's a pretty good negotiating position long term. So I'd want to prop those places up and bring in the streamers as long as I could, which is kind of the combination that they have right now. So to answer your question, yes, streaming is going to become more, but you know how it all exactly plays out. You know, we still have some time before we'll really know that your life is different. But if you're an NFL fan for next year, when those are taking 1 year at a time in this world we live in, you're going to watch the games the same way you watched them last year.
So, Andrew, I want to switch to college football. I feel like based on having you on just so I can vent about things, this is like February Festivus here. But I've been complaining about college football and these changes that they're doing and like this idea of the automatic bids and all these things, play-in games that we have colleagues reporting on in New Orleans right now. In talking to you know your sources in the media environment, is there any concern just big picture about like college football long term, you know, just really messing up its product and taking 100%. Out swaths of this country? Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I wouldn't say that they think that you're going to take out. I mean, the TV networks, and I know they get blamed for changing everything. Two things I can say on that. Number one, it's not they're not charities, these TV networks. So it's not their job to protect college football everywhere. That's college football's job and administrators and presidents of these universities and athletic directors. That's their job is to protect the environment. TV networks' jobs are to make money. Right, that's not like that's what they're doing. And again, you might say, well, they should be like, no, that's not how it works. So the idea that they're, I'm not saying maybe if you know that they have good heart. Like I think they actually do sincerely care about all of college football, but I do think they recognize something that you're just hitting on, like the idea of these play-in games for the Big Ten if they have the four automatic bids in the expanded playoff. So if they go to 14 teams, they was at 12 this first year. They go to 14 teams that the Big Ten, you know, your top two teams would get the automatic bids, and then they'd have some sort of game between either 3 and 6 or 4 and 5 or however they do it, and the winners of those games would go in. Now they might be able, again, that's where the streamers could come in, because I'm not sure that the people who own the Big Ten rights right now, Fox, NBC, CBS are going to give them any more money. So could they get the streamers for those games? Maybe. But I don't think those games, I don't know. I think you hurt your product. I think the one thing that these places really have to be smart about, and they get so greedy, is that, you know, obviously with more games, you make more money. But the reason the NFL is so successful, yes, it's a great sport to watch, and we all love it. And there's fantasy football, there's gambling, and there's your teams. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But the biggest thing why it's so successful in college football to this point is to watch the Tennessee Titans. You only have to ask your significant other for 3.5 hours, and you can tell them exactly when that is. If you want to watch every game of a baseball season, of a basketball season, of hockey, I got to give you 1,000,000 hours. And so that scarcity is very valuable to me long term. And I think that they shouldn't lose sight of that. I think if we got into that, you know, this first time with the playoff, which I like the playoff a lot personally, but between all the NFL games on every other night, between the playoff games, you start to not feel like these games are as important. I don't have to watch them. And I think that you start telling me things aren't as important. I think we've seen that with the regular season, especially in the NBA, that it's not as important. If the players say it, and again, this is a little bit different. I'm changing this a little bit. But like I think with the NBA example, let me just use, the players were telling you load management, this game isn't important. Well, the fans hear that, and eventually they're going to say, you know what, this isn't that important. I don't need to watch. This guy's not playing. This guy's a little bit. So I just think scarcity, if I were starting these leagues, if I was the NBA, and college football applies to too, I don't know if adding things is necessarily more games is better overall.
Really interesting stuff. Andrew, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. Great stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Andrew Marchand, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what he had to say. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville's best deal of the week from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Thanks to Andrew Marchand for being with us in the last segment. Joe, it didn't sound like Tom Brady's going anywhere anytime soon, so get used to it, baby. Buckle up. A lot of Brady on the broadcast in the future.
I mean, the thing is, And Andrew got to say, like Diana has reported, Charles Robinson has told us, you can call someone whatever title you want, and you can say, well, they're not here in the building all the time, they're not in the offices all the time. The people in the NFL think Brady is central to their decision making. So, are they just all like Brady haters who are just guessing that and telling people that, or is there substance to that? And if there's substance to that, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely insane. That,
well, if it was you reporting it, we'd know it was just Brady haters, but it's not. So it's okay.
Yeah, I'm just I don't know, man. I'm just saying, like, if that's true, if what people around the league think is true, I don't see how it can be allowed to happen. But Roger Goodell's just like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. We're good. We love Tom Brady. Let him do whatever he wants. So, and then, you know, the stuff there from Andrew on, I mean, I'm glad, you know, on college football, first of all, it's a very good point to make to distinguish. I mean, the TV people that are they're going to be TV people.
Yeah.
We always blame TV people. I mean, they have too much power. They have too much influence, but you can't expect them to not be what they are, to not do what they do. What you can hope for and expect and wish for is that someone in the actual athletics realm would stand up and say, hey, guys, we're absolutely driving this train off the tracks. What are we doing?
Right. Right.
But, you know, no. Instead, you know, the Sankey and Petitti, the Big Ten SEC, are just like, oh, let's just see how much we can get. Let's just help ourselves as much as we can help ourselves right now. Cash in, baby. Cash those chips in. And it's going to be a problem. And I'm glad to hear Andrew say that, like, the big picture industry feeling is, yeah, this could be bad. I'd never thought of it in those terms, like the scarcity of product and sort of like, you know, the idea of even like, you know, in the NFL, you can kind of set your clock one time a week for 3 hours, you're watching your team or whatever. Or, you know, maybe on Sunday you're watching more than that. But there is something to that, too, and to having too much inventory.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. U.S. and Canada coming up tonight. Can't wait for it. Chasing Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.